It's the Full Force Movie News Burst, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Spoilers ahead! With Rise of the Beasts in theatres, it's time we spoke about that massive end scene. Okay, so let's begin by saying one more time, if you don't want to know what happens in Transformers Rise of the Beasts, then please switch it off at the wall right now. So having recently watched the new movie and seeing that end scene that finally introduces G.I. Joe into the Transformers live action movie universe, I thought I would post a video about my thoughts regarding the scene and anything I noticed that could give us any clues about future crossover movies, etc. For those who haven't seen the movie, the final scene sees our protagonist Noah Diaz, played by Anthony Ramos, looking for work, having help save the world against Unicron, Scourge and a bunch of Terracons in a huge battle in Peru. He arrives at a very standard looking nondescript warehouse in New York, signs in to meet his interviewer and catches his friend Elena, played by Dominique Fishback, who also helped save the world with him, on a TV in the office discussing her new discovery of underground catacombs in Peru. After a wry smile, he continues on to see his interviewer, played by Michael Kelly, in a fairly sizable conference room. Kelly asks Noah about his strengths and he responds that in addition to his experience with electronics in the military, he has been working on his team building skills as a sly nod to the work he did with the Transformers. Kelly discusses Noah's resume and highlights the fact that it is a little thin. Diaz explains that he recently got back from South America on a contracted job, but of course is vague with the details, and that prompts Kelly to reveal that he is fully aware of his exploits in Peru, and that he knows about Noah's robot friends. The atmosphere shifts and Noah becomes defensive and denies knowing what Kelly is talking about. He asks if he is CIA or FBI, and Kelly responds by saying that he is part of a special secret government organization that is strictly off the books, who specialize in global threats and planetary loss prevention. He tells him that they are currently in the middle of an ongoing war, and they would love to recruit Noah and the rest of his team, Transformers included, to join the fight. Noah continues to act dumb about the accusation, so Kelly tells him that no matter his decision, and on behalf of a grateful nation, they will be giving his younger brother Chris complete and fully paid medical care to help him with his undisclosed condition that is prominent throughout the film. Noah is extremely emotional and grateful, and that prompts Kelly to end the conversation, slide him a business card, put on a suit jacket, and walk to the back wall of the room covered in awards and accomplishments, one of which says a Real Hero Award. Finally, he looks at Diaz and tells him that his brother was right about not using real names over the airwaves, which is a reference to the fact that Noah and Chris communicated on walkie-talkies throughout the mission with the Transformers, and called him Sonic over comms. Kelly moves the award and the wall opens, revealing a huge warehouse behind him with some very interesting things in the background, one of which is a Cybertronian looking craft and a possible planetary rover type vehicle. He tells Noah that they could really use someone like him and to think about his offer as Kelly walks onto a platform and is lowered into the warehouse. Noah gets up and walks over to look in awe at what he is seeing before looking at the card, which has Agent Burke on one side with a phone number, and flips it over to reveal the Eagle and Star Movieverse logo and G.I. Joe in clear, bold letters. He exclaims G.I. Joe in a confused manner as the wall closes and the credits roll to Hypnotize by Notorious B.I.G. banging away. Or the Notorious B.I.G.I. Joe, as I'm calling him from now on. Right, so what can we gauge from all of this? Well, first off, let's look at the obvious stuff. Michael Kelly plays a character named Agent Burke, and combined with some recent interviews from Lorenzo de Bonaventura and director Stephen Caple Jr., we can get a better gauge on who Kelly could actually be. My initial thought to seeing the name Burke brought up the Sunbow episode The Spy Who Rooked Me, where a secret agency called Auntie, a rip-off of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., sends British agent Matthew Burke on a mission with the Joes to deliver a black box containing a powerful nerve agent to a weapons depository. As much as I love this episode and love the idea that Kelly could be that special agent, I fear he is probably somebody more well known in the G.I. Joe universe. This is mainly based on a recent interview with Stephen Caple Jr., who told UpRocks, "Yes, he is someone we know. He does have a relationship with someone in the past, but not necessarily in the franchises, but not the movies." Stephen also said, regarding Kelly, "I feel like Michael Kelly was a nice sort of surprise as we got into it. We wanted to make sure whoever we use isn't like a full-blown Nick Fury. When you start to do the compare and contrast to the other franchise, so for me, it just felt like there was a way to bring in Michael. He's a phenomenal actor, and so to have him in the mix and be able to build a team out would have been really cool, but you could go any direction with him. If you wanted to be a villain, if you wanted to be a good guy, if you wanted to be down for the cause, you just don't know. So he just felt valuable that way." This is really telling, in my opinion, and does suggest that Kelly could literally be anybody and doesn't necessarily mean he will be a straight-up good guy. That said, I do think he will play a more significant role in future films, but time will tell, of course. It also sounds as if Burke has a relationship with a significant G.I. Joe-related character based on what Stephen Cappell Jr. insinuated. What that means is anybody's guess, but could be some link to High Command at G.I. Joe. By the way, I know you're all thinking it, and yes, I did try to call the phone number on Burke's business card, but unfortunately, it led nowhere. I was hoping that they had set up some sort of Easter egg to the motor pool of the Army Chaplain's Assistant School in Fort Wadsworth or something like that, but the famous 555 movie phone number prefix strikes again. In terms of Easter eggs, we got quite a few. The award that Kelly shifts to open the wall is a Real Hero Award, which is a nod to the famous G.I. Joe tagline, a real American hero. There are also so many other awards and accomplishments on the wall that eagle-eyed fans can probably study that when a streaming version or Blu-ray comes out in the future. I imagine there are loads of Easter eggs in there. The business card features the movie-related logo, which considering they are in 1994, could have been an older style design to help date the organisation. That said, it is still quite striking to see the more modern logo in that format. He also mentions that they are in a war and need help. Now, does he mean Cobra? I assume so, seeing as the Decepticons are quiet or non-existent at this point in the timeline. Then we have the big warehouse reveal where we see a very futuristic craft being worked on, or most likely studied in the background, and a six-wheeler rover vehicle. The craft looks suspiciously Cybertronian and could even be a living, dead, or dormant Transformer in their own right. The rover backs up the description Kelly gave Diaz regarding the agency he works for when he said that he is part of a special secret government organization that is strictly off the books, who specialize in global threats and planetary loss prevention. Probably just means our planet, but I'm sure there have been a few sanctioned NASA-style missions conducted by G.I. Joe in the past. Or it's just a cool version of Roller, and that's why we don't see Prime's trailer throughout the movie. Other than those items, the warehouse is pretty scarce, with a few people milling around, but impossible to make out from the distance we are from the action, and an empty room towards the back, with a huge AC unit and so on. Lots of points to focus on there, and one of the main questions following this reveal is how Noah Diaz will fit into it. It looks like he will be joining the Joes, but that's still up in the air. If he does, then who will he be? The electronics specialty puts him into the Sparks mainframe dial tone sort of area, but I just assume he will be a new character going forward, which is always a positive from my point of view. Maybe the Sonic the Hedgehog reference will stick, he calls his younger brother Tails as well, and he'll be codenamed Sonic, and they will have a special promo at the Sonic fast food establishment when the movie comes out. I should also say that we don't know what will be next in terms of a follow-up film. It has been insinuated that the next Transformers movie will feature the Joes in a big way, but it could also be a Joe project that happens first. What is clear is that the aim is to reboot the Joe franchise yet again, based on comments by Stephen Cappell Jr. in the Uproxx interview, where he said it was his plan to do so. He also explained that Transformers was going to be the vessel he would be working on to do that, so that points heavily towards a follow-up Transformers movie with the Joes on board for the ride in a much more significant way. I would imagine they could squeeze out a new Joe film that at least gets them set in the universe with an additional end scene tying them once again to the Transformers and attempt the slow burn patient build-up sort of thing that Marvel so expertly crafted in those early days of the MCU. I can't see Paramount being that patient, however, so expect something in your face for whatever they try next. I'm genuinely hoping Rise of Beasts fares well at the box office, because this could all be for naught and get shut down before it's even started if it flops. Fingers crossed. Rise of the Beasts is in theatres right now, so go and see it to help make sure there is a Joe movie universe to enjoy in the future. No pressure. You can also check out the Stephen Cappell Jr. Uproxx interview by Mike Ryan via the link in the description. Anyway, what do you guys think? Can a crossover movie franchise really work? What will we get next? Who would you like to see involved in directing or casting if another movie follows this one? Let me know in the comments below. Okay team, I will be chatting with Justin Bell about all of this in a few weeks' time when he returns to the Movie News Bursts. Plus we have lots more content to come as well as more news, so keep it locked, stay fresh cheese bags, and as always, full force. That's it for this installment of the Full Force Movie News Burst. Don't forget to comment, like, and subscribe. See you next time, and as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos, and as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast, or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.